This is our league, and this is your league. From the 55-yard line on CFL America Radio and the Sports History Network.
Just to start off, what is ice ball? What was it? For someone who doesn't know football, has never heard of the game.
What is the ice
what
ball?
What is it? Yeah.
Okay. It's American football. It was the coldest game ever played. Somebody froze to death in the stands. The players' fingers all froze. They couldn't get their cleats to go into the ground. And it was as cold as it is at the North Pole. Oh, and it was against the mighty Green Bay Packers.
It was probably the greatest moment in football history for us.
And the Green Bay Packers will be third-time National Football League champions on a 12 below zero day here at Lambeau Field in Green Bay.
It just changed our lives, and it provided us with a great life, a lot of fun.
Bart, it's a real pleasure to present you keys to this car.
My whole life would have been different. Your dad's life would have been different. Not only did it break my heart, it wounded my soul. You don't ever get over something like that.
The temperature during the 1967 NFL championship game was unheard of. Not just for the Dallas Cowboys, but for everyone.
First of all, the cold was extreme. It was Arctic cold. It was a classic football game in an incredible setting. Two great teams having an epic battle comes down to the final 13 seconds of the game.
For the second season in a row, Dallas and Green Bay met for the league title.
Come on out there, let's go!
But this time, it would become known as the Ice Bowl.
That is the one game in my whole life that I did not want to play. I did not want to play that game. I had numbness in all the tips of my fingers for 6 weeks after the game.
And mine came in at my toes. And it's almost like your circulation has stopped.
It was the coldest game in NFL history, and a battle between the greatest talents of that time. Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry were longtime rivals, whose teams combined for 15 future Hall of Famers. My dad was Don Meredith, the Dallas quarterback, and many have said that he too should be enshrined in Canton. And maybe he would be had the Ice Bowl ended differently. When the Packers ended my father's hopes for a championship, everything changed for me and my family. One more completion or one last stop, and the story could have been entirely different.
There it is, there it is.
Nearly 50 years later, I couldn't help but to think about my dad and the epic battle he had with Green Bay. The truth is, my dad never really talked about that game. So I began a journey to find out why. The reason I want to tell the story of the Ice Bowl is because it's curious that rabid Cowboy fans are fascinated with that game because they lost it. I just started to think there's more.
About 3 or 4 years ago, before these little sound bites came along, I just thought, why make hay while the sun shines? Some of these guys are getting a little older. I was 100 days old when Ice Bowl was played. I knew my dad was a football player, but not a lot of conversations about when he was a cowboy. I wish I'd asked more questions.
My dad passed away in 2010, but I still wanted to know why he wouldn't talk about that game. So I started researching it myself.
One of these might be Dad.
I've talked with dozens of people who really knew the story.
Good morning.
Hello, sir.
How are you doing?
Michael Meredith.
Mike.
Hey, Michael.
Good to see you, sir.
The Packer legends, my father's teammates, and even my mom.
What I'm gathering so far is there was a lot of respect for Cowboys, Packers, Packers, vice versa. And I want to know those guys better and see things from their perspective.
We started to learn even more about the significance of what his dad had, you know, really been a part of. And getting to know more about his dad has just been a special part of our family. He was a big deal.
Didn't overthrow him that time. Hey, you feel better, baby? All right, that's good. Nice move, Lance.
You guys want some close-ups?
Well, your dad was like a movie star. He was a comedian. He was a singer. He was a show-off. He had a twinkle in his eye. He smiled all the time. He made jokes.
Don Meredith, roll three, Jeff and Hazel's baby boy out of Mount Vernon, Texas, riding 12 jumps to midnight. Take a deep seat, cowboy. You got a long ride.
The day you were born, he threw 5 touchdown passes. And then he had a car wreck on the way to the hospital. That's how excited he was to have a son.
All right.
Don was a very unique athlete. He always kept us laughing, you know, by saying little things.
That way to make a move, man.
He just was a happy guy. I mean, you know, you just laugh with him.
We're gonna stick it.
Riding my yin yang.
I think he had a plan. You know, when he did some of the crazy he did, it relaxed the team in a lot of ways.
I think the sports writers, they sort of painted Meredith as the lackadaisical, happy-go-lucky guy, which he was. But they probably neglected telling how hard he worked and kind of left Meredith holding the bag.
I think I'm a lot more serious about the game than a lot of people think, and because of it, I think it's hurt. I mean, because of that, I mean, I think it's hurt in some respects.
60 out, cut.
My father had his fair share of painful moments in his career. One of those came a year earlier on a much warmer evening in the final seconds of the 1966 championship. 50 years later, I met up with Packers Dave Robinson and Tom Brown to relive the ending to their first playoff showdown with the Cowboys.
Can you tell me what y'all remember about January 1st, 1967? You weren't very nice to my dad that day. So what do you remember?
What happened to him?
He ended up on his back and throwing a football to someone he didn't mean to throw it to, and the whole stadium blamed him. And it was your fault, both of you.
The clock is running with 52 seconds remaining. If the Cowboys go in here and kick the extra point, we're going into overtime. They've got one play to travel 2 yards. Meredith takes the ball, rolls out to the right. He's going to be nailed. It's intercepted in the end zone by Tom Brown. Dave Robinson nailed Don Meredith as he attempted to throw that pass. It was intercepted in the end zone by Tom Brown, and the Packers have just taken the championship.
. 364 days later, my dad would get a second chance.
We've been looking forward to this. Well, that's a replay of last year's championship game. We hope it's not an identical replay, but we enjoy playing Green Bay, and our game plan is really not based on weather. The field, I understand, won't be frozen, so we can wear our cleats. We have more speed than Green Bay overall in our team, I think. So I think a good field is to our advantage.
Let's look ahead to Sunday. The Dallas Cowboys and for the whole works.
That's right. This is the big game of the year, and we're real happy we're going to play in Green Bay. Let me say that.
Vince loved gadgets. He loved any kind of gimmick that came along. And all of a sudden, the salesman came in and said, Mr. Lombardi, have I got something for you? He said, electric field. Not only does it heat the field, but the grass will grow better.
And it sounded like a great idea. These cables were inserted into the ground, and they filled this, made up a grid, and it worked just perfectly.
The turf at Lambeau Field looks pretty good. Donnie Anderson, how's the footing?
Fine. As well as everybody probably knows, we've installed that this year, and it's been a lifesaver for us. We've been practicing on it. The turf's in good shape, and we expect it to be that way for the game Sunday.
This is my pride and joy out here, this field here. Let's not cut it up.
Our field is going to be in good shape because unless something happens to the to that electric blanket we have out there, I'm thinking sometime maybe I ought to go out and pull a switch to cut down on that speed that the Dallas team has.
It was crispy that Saturday, but the weather was great. I think the sun was out. We were running around on a very soft field. The field was quite pliable. You could run. The cleats worked that day. And let's get to the next day.
A sellout crowd has braved the coldest New Year's Eve in the history of Green Bay, Wisconsin, to witness the 1967 NFL Championship game.
In 1967, Packers games and Vince Lombardi's weekly program were broadcast on Green Bay TV station WBAY. 50 years later, in the same studio where the Lombardi Show was staged, I learned more about the historic weather front that would give the Ice Bowl its name.
The situation here was it was bad timing for the game, okay? So let's start over here. This was 2 weeks before the game. The flow coming at Wisconsin was pretty much right out of the Pacific, so it was very seasonable, 20s, 30s for daytime highs. But the problem with this is up over here. While the mild air is coming at Wisconsin, all of the cold air is trapped up there. So day after day, night after night, the radiation continues. It gets colder and colder and colder. You get to a couple days before the game, and suddenly it lets loose. It goes plunging all the way down into the Gulf coastal states. So Wisconsin is smack dab in the middle. This is all moving eastward. So when you actually look at the temperature scheme, here you are at 6 degrees above zero at midnight. Notice by 9 o'clock in the morning, you're at minus 16 degrees. It's been getting colder and colder, little if any warming.
We stayed at the Holiday Inn in Appleton, Wisconsin. And in those days, all the rooms opened to the outside.
The night before the game, I went to bed at normal. Next morning, get up. Wanted to get going to the game. Turned out, couldn't open a door. What happened is the night before, the humidity in our body and our breath and everything froze the door shut, and it snowed up against the front door, and it melted the joint, so you couldn't open the door. And I'm panicky. You know, you're never late for a cowboy meeting. So I finally called downstairs. I got the bellman. I said, you get up here and kick this door in, do something. They had two bellmen come upstairs, and they kicked the door in, and I finally got out on time.
The phone rings, and they go, good morning, Mr. Retzel. It's 8 degrees below zero. The temperature is expected to drop. Have a nice day. I said, have a nice day? I'm not going to have a nice day.
It wouldn't exactly be a nice day for Coach Lombardi's electric blanket either.
The night prior to the game, they put a tarp over that field, and then they turned the thing on. So the heat rose, but couldn't escape the tarp. But then when that tarp came off and it hit that freezing air, it fast froze.
I mean, it was hard. It was like playing on a frozen pond, you know? It was slicker than snot on a doorknob.
I told the two assistant coaches, I said, guys, this thing's frozen up on us, and it's going to get worse as the game goes on. They said, somebody's got to go tell Lombardi. You know, I'd rather have to go in there and tell him that his wife was running around on him than do that, because he was not a happy man.
I think it should be the coldest one in history.
Could be.
1935.
Well, it's going to be 7 below.
7 below?
It's not something you're accustomed to. Your face freezes up. You feel like you can't talk or you can't move your lips.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like being inside of a freezer. It's shocking to your system.
Yeah, I think it's great.
You like it?
No.
Good luck today, Will.
Thank you.
It was ridiculous to play that game in that kind of weather. I'm still mad about that. Especially coming from Texas. Texas and Green Bay aren't exactly alike.
It felt like someone had taken a knife or something and cut my clothes off and exposed my bare skin to this, just how cold it was. It just immediately engulfed you.
It was good in spots.
I just sat there on the bench, freezing my butt off, and I just thought to myself, this game should not have been played.
Our commissioner was in Oakland, and he is the only man that can postpone or cancel a game. He didn't understand the conditions, and I guess he made the ruling to play the game. I don't agree with many things the Dallas Cowboys say, but they're right. That game should have been postponed.
What we would do was take and put Vaseline on our feet and wrap them in saran wrap and then put their socks on, and that heat would melt the Vaseline and keep your feet warm.
What the hell? Give me something made out of wool, not made out of saran wrap.
Really? Dallas, won a toss, they'll receive. Green Bay will kick. We'll do it again at the end of the half. You have your option.
From the start, the Cowboys' strategy was clear to everyone.
If anybody looks at the tape, you can tell every time we're going to pass or not going to pass, because Bob Hayes puts his hands in his pocket. That means we're going to run.
Hayes running downfield is picking his way, and just looks like a very cold young man from Florida.
And so he gave a signal to the defensive backs. Whenever he was going to be a target for the ball, he would have his hands out.
The attitude that, yes, it is cold, but we control it. How we're going to react to it, respond to it, overcome it. It got us in a position where we were truly ready to start that game. We were able to take the football and move it.
Starr gets the protection, fires, the pass is complete to Carroll Dale. Starr spots his man, fires, the pass is complete over the left side.
Most of our guys were from the south and southwest and never seen freezing weather. We didn't have a clue what we were getting into.
Starr pumps one up the middle, the pass is complete.
It was not on the game plan. All I had to do was clear the linebacker and look for the ball. And Bart just tossed it to me. It was nothing. Something back there went haywire with the coverage because it was easy.
At the start of the second quarter, Boyd Dowler burned the Cowboys again.
Starr fakes a handoff, back to throw, fires a long one. It is complete to Boyd Dowler. He'll go into the end zone with a touchdown.
I came off the ball a little bit like I was going to come in and block Renfro, which is what I would do on that running play that we faked. When I got about even with Renfro, our eyes met. I knew I was going to be open. Bart was throwing against the wind, and I thought he might be overthrowing me, but he got it right where it belonged.
We had to change the way we ran, the way we maneuvered, even the way we tackled, the way you covered, the way you backpedaled. There was no traction. It was miserable.
The Dallas Cowboys appear to be in big trouble.
My Ice Bowl Odyssey covered 4 years, 9 states, and countless miles to interview the surviving Cowboys and Packers with Ice Bowl stories to tell.
What I remember about them is what I've seen from films and pictures and stuff like that, and they're larger-than-life characters. And now I'm kind of seeing them in the autumn of their lives, and there's a tragic element to it. You know, it's kind of like never meet your heroes sort of thing.
Since my research began, a dozen different people I'd hoped to see passed away. One player I didn't get the chance to interview was the largest lineman on the Dallas Doomsday defense.
Great play by Willie Towns. Towns took
Buck Anderson apart as he came barreling through.
It was the eulogy from a cowboy legend at Towns' memorial service that reminded me how critical a role Willie played in sparking the Dallas Ice Bowl comeback.
The doomsday defense that you hear about, Doomsday One, started when Willie Towns came to the Cowboys. He was great. This was Willie's year, 1967. We played Green Bay. This was the Ice Bowl, by the way. We were behind 14-0 in the first quarter.
What do you see now? What do you see? Let's go now. Big down. Big down.
Bart Starlitz and five Cowboys up very tight and drops back to pass. Standing at the 20, being chased by Andre. Being chased and driven, the ball fumbled. Picked up by Andre to the 5. He goes into the end zone for a touchdown for the Cowboys.
Willie Towns, give Willie Towns assist on that. I believe it's Willie Towns who hit Star and knocks the ball out of his hands.
Well, he continues through there because I couldn't pick up Renfrow. I couldn't find Renfrow. I couldn't see him.
Willie Towns, the hook is just too long rhythm.
Right here.
Yes, sir.
They're not,
defensively, they don't seem to be coming off the ball. Maybe 53 and 52. See?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
We were not pleased with our ability to be moving the ball better. We were not performing as well as we could have been and should have been.
That away, George Andre!
We didn't change anything. We just didn't, we didn't execute.
And it'll be fourth down coming up now. A little wave of kicking from his own 33-yard line. A nice high kick.
The
win, a fair catch called by Wood. He
fumbled
in a battle for the football, and the Cowboys have recovered.
What the hell's going on out there?
The kick is up, and it's good. Without the benefit of a single first down in this quarter, the Cowboys have scored 10 points thanks to the uncharacteristic generosity of the Packers.
Things started happening, and sometimes it just snowballs on you, and it did.
Well, Ray, the temperature is around 13 degrees. There's a wind from 10 to 18.
13, is that above or below?
That's below zero. And the wind.
Frank Gifford, I think, was doing the game, and he said, he was talking with Ray Scott. He said, I think I'm going to have a bite of my coffee now. But it was freezing up before he could drink it.
That day, nobody wanted to be on the sideline because everybody wanted to be in the press box. And the bad thing about the press box was it was cold up there, too.
And we realized after being in there a while that the window was icing up, not just frosting up, but icing. And this young man from Green Bay said, well, there's a service station across the street behind us. I'll run over there and get some de-icer cans. That's how we got through the game. We used 3 cans of it.
That's antifreeze actually enabled them to be able to look out through the frost across the windows and letting it seep down. The problem was that it got on the tabletops. Thank God they didn't have electric typewriters in those days because we probably would have electrocuted most of the press corps. Never heard the end of that one.
From the time they arrived, Wisconsin's fans were equally as creative finding ways to keep warm. The family of Packers quarterback Bart Starr cleaned out local stores' inventories, buying up their own special protective gear.
They were called stadium bags, and I bought them for everyone. You got in it just like a sleeping bag, but it had arms cut out, and you zipped it up around your neck. But we were dressed in heavy, heavy coats, heavy boots, gloves, and still froze to death.
Among those fans in the stands included a future film actor and Oscar nominee, this time playing the role of a shivering but excited 12-year-old Packer backer.
I had a friend. He had an extra ticket. So they invited me, and I was over the moon about it. The golden ticket, you know. First Packer game, 40-yard line, beautiful seats. We knew it was going to be cold. You just wear a lot of layers. We were packed in, you know. I mean, we were happy for the person next to you. The closer, the better.
We're sitting over on the bench, and I said, Marinus, we got to be the dumbest son of a in the world. And he turned around and looked at me like that, and then he said, look behind you. They paid to get in here. He said, we're getting paid to put up with this crap. And I said, oh, my God.
One thing I learned about these Packer fans is that some took home more than just frostbite. This is Gene, more commonly known as Orangey. He stole my dad's cape, but he doesn't know yet.
Some temporary dugouts, and he had a couple big hunter blowers blowing in. And I said, I know where I'm going. He said, you can't go there. I said, the hell I can't. You know, you got a few beers in you, of course. So I just jumped across the fence and walked over and sat down in the dugout. Meredith happened to be next to me when the Cowboys got the ball. Landry hollers out, offense.
I'm going ahead of 10.
So he throws his cape off, and I look at that. I put it on. I look like a football player now.
Did you ever think that 50 years after the Ice Bowl, Don's son would come looking for that cape? No?
Come on!
Michael Meredith, sir. Here we go.
Hey! Orangey!
Nice to meet you officially.
Who would I ever guess?
Yeah. Orangey said I could keep the cape.
Looks like it's about my size.
But I declined his kind offer. As it turned out, my dad probably didn't need that jacket in the third quarter when the Dallas offense began to heat up.
I was proud of the way we got refocused and stopped paying attention to the wind and the cold and started paying attention to what we needed to do to win.
Meredith back to pass. Good time. Plenty of protection down the middle. Hits Clark at the 40. The Cowboys have been studying well in the halftime dressing room.
Don Meredith is throwing the ball extremely well in the three or four passes he's thrown so far this half. They've all been low and right into the red basket.
There was excitement on the sideline. Guys were up running around for the first time. That helped us. I think we had certain pass plays that seemed to work very well because the wind was carrying them.
While all the attention was focused on my dad, it was a pass from a Dallas teammate that caught the Packers completely by surprise.
Meredith pitches out to Reeves, coming around left side of the halfback.
Danny and I did all the things right, the nuances of that play that make it work. I remember so vividly that when I made my break to the outside corner, I just went, oh, God is great and God is good.
And I got very, very nervous, and I really thought almost to then that we were going to lose that game.
17-14. And Chuck, I would say that the Packers have got their work cut out for them now.
I had plane reservations, but they started canceling flights like mad because it was too cold. The runway, everything was freezing up. It was insanely cold. And also, I had a little boy. It was you. I wouldn't watch with anybody else.
4:50 left in the game. Time may finally be running out on Packer hopes for a third consecutive NFL championship.
I thought we had won the game. I just thought we'd won it.
I'm thinking that we blew it. Because I didn't think the offense had any chance of going that long in such a short period of time.
I asked Bart. Years later, I said, what possessed you to think you could take that ball 65 yards, 4.5 minutes, when we hadn't gained a yard in 31 plays? In fact, we gained a minus 9 yards. Bart says, I looked in your eyes, and I looked in Forrest's eyes. I knew you knew what we had to do. So all I said was, all right, let's go.
Starr takes a quick snap from center. Back to throw. Spots his man. Fires at the fastest complete. Dowler is belted to the ground. He's going to get up rather slowly.
whatever they're going to do, they won't be able to go that far in this weather on that field without having an interception or dropping a couple of passes and having fourth down. And it just never happened.
In that series, the Cowboys ran a zone, so I would just swing out in the flat. That's what changed the game, was the ability to be, say, 10 or 12 yards from someone and catch the ball. That's what you live for.
We just had guys in position, but we just could not keep our footing well enough to make the plays. Our guys couldn't skate as well as they could, I guess. We all had our opportunities on that drive.
He flips the pass. It's complete to Chuck Mercine. He's at the 25, the 20, down to the 15, and out of bounds at about the 11-yard line.
To their credit, they reached inside themselves mentally and got themselves together and did what championship teams do.
It's to Mercy, pops up the middle, the five. He's inside the five to the 2-yard line.
Then we get down and we're 2 yards or 3 yards away from the line of scrimmage, and we only have a few short yardage plays in our playbook. We only had a few plays in our playbook.
Hands off to Donnie Anderson. He smashes into the center of that line. I don't believe he made it. This has got to be sheer tension. Second down, Star. The handoff goes to Donnie Anderson. He's not in. The Packers call time again. 16 seconds remaining. That's all the timeouts the Green Bay Packers have. They are still inches away from that goal line.
Star wanted to try one more running play, targeting the left side of the Cowboys' defensive line.
We had a lead play on short yardage situations, wedging on Jethro Pugh, because his charge angle was like this. You could get to him and knock him back. He didn't get underneath you like the other defensive linemen. I took a timeout. I ran to the sidelines. I said, Coach, the fullback can't get up there because he's slipping and sliding. I said, I'm standing upright. I can shuffle my feet and just lunge in, run the same play. And this is exactly what Coach Lombardi said, which was so typical of this man. He said, well, then run it, and let's get the hell out of here.
Bart Starr coming over to check with Coach Vince Lombardi. The Packers, inches away from something that has never before happened in pro football history, a third straight NFL championship. The Cowboys lead 17-14. They have played a great football game here in the second half. The Packers want to take it all away from them here in the final 20 seconds.
We keyed the running backs, and that's what we were. Linebackers were taught to take care of first.
Bart came in the huddle and called the play. Brown right, 31 wedge on two. So I think, oh man, I'm going to get the score of the winning touchdown in the ice bowl.
Watch that Star now, come on. Ready, he fakes it. Watch the keeper now.
Star begins the count. Takes the snap. He has the quarterback playing it easy with a touchdown of the Packers. They're out in front. 13 seconds joined on the clock, and the Green Bay Packers are going to be NFL champions for the third straight year. People pouring out of the stands. We're going to have a problem kicking this extra point.
I suddenly realized after about a step and a half that I wasn't going to get the ball. Bart just sort of shuffled his feet and snuck into the end zone himself. And I go flying up over him because I can't stop because of the ice and throw my hands up in the air, which looks like I'm signaling touchdown, but it's actually not.
He said I went to Yale, so, you know, I'm a pretty smart guy. He didn't want to get accused of pushing, which now everybody pushes.
The winning play in the Ice Bowl was not even in the playbook. We didn't have a quarterback sneak. That was an improvisation. Bart Starr wasn't known for his running ability.
Your most certain way of blocking is to put your head up and put your face right in the defensive player's chest.
Even now, there are some who believe Kramer jumped the gun.
I don't think I was offside. I think I just got a great start, and I think Bobo might have been a little slow with the ball.
when Bart went across the line, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't accept it. I was in my bedroom alone watching the game, and I started beating my head on the floor. It was too cold. It was just too cold. There was just no way to stop the Packers and Bart in that kind of weather.
There's begun. The football game is over. History has been made. The Green Bay Packers have won three straight National Football League championships.
On that plane ride home, it was like you were at a funeral. There wasn't one word said. I've never been on a plane like that after a game. Not one word.
With both joy and relief, the Packers locker room celebrated their record third straight championship. The mood was obviously much different in the Cowboys locker room.
Maybe we were just supposed to do that, okay? Maybe we were just, they were supposed to win no matter whether it was good weather, bad weather, whichever case might be. The picture of me standing there in my locker room, I was crying at that time. I thought the gods had really done us an injustice.
This has left a big scar on Don, and I think Don has suffered more from this because he feels it's the quarterback's job to lead the team to victory, and he felt that he's sincerely failed the team the last 2 years losing to Green Bay. Of course, we don't agree with this.
They think you're Superman, and he wasn't Superman, he was just a man, trying his best. Dallas just needed that break, especially your dad. We couldn't talk without just bursting into tears. We were wounded, you know, so he just wanted to go to bed. And so we didn't talk. I don't think we ever really talked about it. It was too painful.
My dad came to this house right after the Ice Bowl. My mom told me he came back and just wanted to reflect. Maybe he was thinking about the next chapter of his life. And I would imagine the Ice Bowl had to have something to do with that. My dad played one more season with the Cowboys, then decided to retire at the age of 31.
He retired too young. I think he would have played longer if the Ice Bowl hadn't just crushed us so much, crushed him.
I don't think my dad fully realized that in some ways, the Ice Bowl defeat was also a victory.
We played as hard and as well as we could play under those circumstances. And I think that's what happened in that Ice Bowl. We became a tougher football team. Stop crying and stand up and fight.
We came back and we played better. We took control of the next 4 or 5 years in the NFL. Had we not come back from that game and we were just another lost entity of the NFL, we wouldn't be sitting here. We just knew we could win the championship, and we did.
Roger Staubach eventually replaced my father at quarterback, but his supporting cast still had lots of familiar faces.
We won for 20 years in a row as far as winning, and 19 of those years were in the playoffs. When we were in the locker room after Super Bowl VI, I felt, this is Don Meredith's team. He should be here. And he would have been if he would have stayed with it.
I'm here for a reason, and I'm 31 years old, and I'm not really for sure I've found that reason yet, but I'm looking for it. And I think I've got something else I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to find it.
To be back. I really am happy to be here at ABC Monday Night Football. Son of a gun. Nice to be here.
As it turned out, my father's Ice Bowl-induced retirement gave him the opportunity to begin the next phase of his career as a larger-than-life sportscasting personality. He became one of the nation's most popular celebrities, which eventually led to an acting career in commercials and television. No doubt I inherited my father's love for performance art. As an adult, I found my career path as a film director in features and documentaries. It enabled us to share in one of the best experiences of our lives when I cast him in my first theatrical release.
Marker.
Okay, action.
I used to be big on pancakes. My son recently died, but before that I used to make them all the time. That's how it is, though. He said goodbye to me and he went and died.
I wish I'd had one more conversation with my dad. I would tell him what I learned on this journey, that he was wrong. He didn't let down his city or his team. I would tell him how his spirit helped carry the Cowboys to new heights, and I would tell him how proud I am. The 50th anniversary may be the last time this game is celebrated, but its story will carry on long after the surviving participants are gone.
Well, you're witnessing history today, everyone. These are the pioneers of 1960s pro football in Dallas. These are the men who played in the legendary Ice Bowl game half a century ago. These are the stars who proudly wore the star of the Dallas Cowboys.
The journey has been great. It's been a special thing for me, learning about my dad, learning about myself, learning about you guys. Like, it's been cool.
Yeah, I imagine you have. Yeah. Walking those footsteps for a while and hear the stories and hear all the tales.
Yep.
From the University of Alabama. A man that needs no introduction, Bart Starr.
The games I ever played, the Ice Bowl has to be the greatest one of all. I'm still carrying it with me. I believe I can do about anything I want to try to do. And that game not only helped me become a better person, but also a lot of other Packers and probably Cowboys too.
I'm kind of glad that it was cold and that I lived through that experience and have, you know, had people ask me about it for 50 years.
I can still see that game. In my mind, I'm 91 years old now, and it's like it was yesterday. People who were there then, their children heard, and then their grandchildren heard about this thing every year. I can imagine it's gonna just go on and on. That game will live forever.
What I've learned is that the Ice Bowl's legacy is secure. Its examples of courage, ingenuity, and endurance are qualities of the human condition that remain universal and permanent. They will survive long after its heroes have left us. It's both my privilege and responsibility to pass on the legacy of the Ice Bowl to my kids and to honor those men who played with their grandfather in a game unlike any we'll ever see again.